But to find out which prize we did give, our patron Dame Curie will reveal all.
BBC Cardiff Singer of the World 2015 to Belarus, Nadine Kutcher.
Well, Nadine Kutcher, we thought it might be extremely well deserved. Oh, she's collapsed in the corridor. She's overcome with emotion. She can't make it on stage yet. That's adorable. She's down on her hands and knees. David Jackson is pushing her onto stage. Here she comes. Sue, Rebecca, very well deserved.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. Flawless technique. Beautiful, engaging performance.
She really pulled it out of the bag this evening. She gave it her best shot. She really went for it.
An amazing performance. I think the expression overcome with emotion has never been more appropriate.
No.
She's going down the row of jurors, shaking them by the hand now. A great night for her, a great triumph. Yeah. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more of her in months and years to come.
This is the beginning.
And she's perfectly poised now. She's the right age, with the right repertoire, she can just go, she can fly.
Here she is coming onto the podium for the Raise the Trophy moment. Very well deserved, and here it comes. She lifts it aloft, this beautiful Cardiff Trophy. Bowing once more to the audience, Nadine Kutcher, 2015 Cardiff Singer of the World. Well, I think the adulation is going to go on for some time here. We will leave you with Nadine Kutcher relishing the moment, and hand you back to London.
Was an extraordinary performance. Ian Burnside with the team at the BBC Cardiff Singer of the World competition. Congratulations to our winner. If you'd like to hear any of her performances, or indeed the others who took part in tonight's final, then they're all there, along with the rounds that led to that final, on the Radio 3 website, there to listen to again for the next 30 days after their live broadcast. Well, welcome back to Broadcasting House here in London. This is Ian Skelly. The time is 4 minutes past ten, and it's high time we moved on to our next programme tonight, which is our drama on three. August Strindberg's The Father. It was first performed in 1890, and it presents a dissection of the power struggles that develop through a troubled marriage. It's one of Strindberg's most controversial plays, and this version was first staged in 2012 at the Belgrade Theatre in Coventry. The play contains some strong language and explicit scenes.
The Father by August Strindberg, in a version by Laurie Slade.
You know why you're here.
Sir!
What have you been up to?
With respect, sir, I can't say.
Not in front of the pastor.
Spare me your blushes, young man.
Spit it out! Or you'll be on a charge.
All right, all right. There was a dance down the road. Then, yes, well, Ludwig said...
Ludwig? What's he got to do with it? Where were you?
With Emma.
Emma's from the kitchen.
Ah. Let's go to the barn, she said.
So, it's Emma's fault that she's pregnant.
Yes. If a girl's not up for it, it doesn't happen.
Get to the point! Are you, or are you not, the father?
How should I know?
You weren't the only one.
I was then. We was all alone then. Alone in the barn. But who's to say if there wasn't others before or after?
You mean the child could be Ludwig's?
Hard to tell.
But you said to Emma you wanted to marry her.
I had to, didn't I? Otherwise she wouldn't have...
You're a disgrace! It's not the first time you've been in trouble over a girl.
Sir!
What's to be done with him, Pastor?
He can't marry them all.
How can I get it into his head? He's got to stop putting it about. Can you make him see the error of his ways?
The word of God in a soldier's ear.
Worth a try. At ease, Noid!
Listen to me, young man. Surely you know. In terms of practical functioning, whether or not you're the father of the child.
I went all the way, if that's what you're getting at. Not got no problem in that respect. But there's no guarantee, is there, that a knight in the hay leaves a bun in the oven?
You can't leave a girl like this destitute. Not with a child. We can't make you marry her, but you have to provide for the child.
All right. All right. I will. If Ludwig pays half.
That's enough! This will have to be settled in court. I'm not qualified to sort it out. Noid, dismiss!
Wait. Noid. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? How can you treat a young girl in this way? This girl you did as you pleased with.
And as she pleased.
Have you no dignity? No self-respect, don't you feel...
If I knew for certain that I'm the father, of course I'd step up. But, Pastor, how can I tell for certain? How would you feel? Or you, sir, if it happened to you, would you be willing to beaver away for the rest of your life, busting a gut to pay for the child of some other man?
Out!
Sir!
Stay away from the girls in the kitchen! You'll feel my boot when it hurts!
Sir!
You should have thrown the book at him, Pastor. Your good book.
What could I say? It's a pity about the girl, yes. But this young man with his fornicating, we were interrupted. We were talking about your daughter, her confirmation.
Not just her confirmation. Her whole upbringing is at stake. This house is stuffed with women, and they all want a piece of my daughter. My mother-in-law, she wants Bertha to be a spiritualist. The girl's mother wants her to study art. Her governess wants her to be a Methodist. Margaret, my dear old nurse, wants Bertha to be a Baptist. The maids have told her she looks ever so sweet in a Salvation Army bonnet. And while I should have the last word on what's in her best interest, no one listens to me and I'm blocked at every turn.
Too many squaws, not enough chief.
I need a red-hot poker to keep them at bay. You can laugh. Wasn't enough I married your sister. Mother had to come too. That was your doing.
What did you expect? A man can't live with his mother.
But a man must live with his mother-in-law.
We all have our crosses to bear.
I can't let my daughter go on living in this madhouse. Got to get her out of here.
What do you want for Bertha that Laura won't accept? Can't you meet her halfway?
I have no great ambitions for my daughter. But she mustn't think it's all about marriage. She might end up left on the shelf, an embittered old maid. On the other hand, a professional career, that would be wasted. With a boy, the training, the time, the expense, it's worth it. With a girl, what happens if she marries after all? It's money down the drain.
What's to become of her?
I want her to be a teacher. If she doesn't marry, she'll still have an income. And if she does marry, she can teach her offspring, pass on her knowledge. What do you think?
Doesn't she paint rather well?
I've shown her daubs to a proper artist. Nothing special. The trouble is, last summer, a young man about town convinced her mother he knew about art. He said Bertha was highly gifted. Laura's convinced we've a budding genius.
Heaven help you. I can't. And she will have allies.
The whole household is pitching in. quite unscrupulous, quite prepared to use the girl to get at me. I won't have it!
Goodness, is that the time?
I won't let them use my daughter as cannon fodder. You aren't going?
I must.
Stay for supper. Nothing fancy on the menu. The doctor, the new one, is making a courtesy call. Stay, we'll size him up together.
I can't. I must sup at home. My little lady gets bothered if I'm not back on time.
Entrench yourself behind strong fortifications. The enemy will seek a solution elsewhere.
I trust you don't speak of my wife.
Wives, or the winter weather. The modern soldier has a strategy for every situation. Plan your campaign, then stick to the plan. Attack is the best form of defense.
Would you mind, Adolf, putting that sword away?
Spoiled sport.
You seem a bit nervy.
Did Laura say that?
No.
For 20 years, she's been planning my funeral.
She hasn't said a thing. I just thought... Look after yourself. That's my advice. Now, where did I put
your hat, if you must.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
No cause for concern. I'll be stuck at my desk for the rest of the evening. Ploughing through paperwork is a more effective sedative than anything an apothecary can provide. Go home!
One moment. We still haven't dealt with a confirmation.
Oh, let social convention take its course.
It's not a convention. It's a sacrament.
I'm too old, Jonas, to martyr myself on a point of principle. In due course, my daughter will have views of her own on what's good for her soul. Or, indeed, whether that mysterious and hitherto unidentified portion of human anatomy actually exists. Meanwhile, get on with it. Good luck.
Thanks be to God.
And good night. Greetings to your little lady.
And mine to Laura. Good night.
Excuse me.
One moment, please, or I'll lose count. What can I do for you?
Am I disturbing you?
You need money.
The housekeeping.
Leave the bills there. I'll check them later.
Bills?
And your calculations.
You want me to keep accounts?
Of course.
Why should I keep accounts?
Our financial position is extremely precarious. If we run into difficulties, I will need to produce accounts to prove we aren't hiding our money as a way of defrauding our creditors.
The precarious position we're in is not my responsibility.
Your accounts will show it is.
It's not my fault the tenant won't pay.
And who recommended the tenant? You did. The perfect tenant, you said.
You gave him the lease.
Because you wouldn't leave me in peace, wouldn't let me eat in peace, sleep in peace, work in peace until you had your own way.
I simply...
Simply had to have him here because your brother simply refused to let him stay there.
Adolf.
On top of that, your mother wanted him here because I didn't. The governess wanted him here because he's a holy Joe. Old Margaret wanted him here because she knew his grandmother. They played together as children, apparently. How was I to argue with that? Here, take the money. Housekeeping. Whatever. Give me the bills later.
Thank you. Sir. I assume you keep accounts. Of your own expenditure for what you don't give me.
That is of no concern of yours.
Of course not. Like the welfare of my child. Did the men of the family settle her fate this evening?
My mind was already made up. In a fortnight's time, Berta leaves for lodgings in town.
Lodgings with whom? If I'm allowed to ask.
Sarvberg, the lawyer.
That man is an atheist.
He's a free thinker. So am I. The law provides that our child, like any other, shall be brought up in the faith of the father.
The mother has no say.
None whatsoever. She's made a binding contract to surrender her rights in exchange for the obligations of her husband, to care for her and the offspring of their marriage.
Leaving her powerless?
You can't sell something, then take it back and still keep the money.
What if the mother and the father... What if they were to agree?
Mm. No. Agreement is not possible. I want Berta to live in town. You want her to live at home. Splitting the difference locates her halfway in between in the railway station. Compromise is out of the question. I've made my decision. That's that.
Then we must fight it out. What was Annoyed doing in here?
A military matter.
The whole kitchen knows.
Then why do you ask?
To establish the facts.
And what have you established?
The law says that the father...
The law can't make a man the father if he isn't.
There are ways of finding out.
But no way of knowing. Not for certain.
No way of knowing who's the father?
Not for certain.
Then how does the father get his rights over the child?
He gets the rights because he accepts the obligations, or has to. If he fails, the law will make him do the necessary.
What if the wife had been unfaithful?
Noyd and the girl are not married. The issue does not arise. Was there anything else?
No.
Then I'll be in my study. Be so good as to call me when the doctor arrives.
As you wish.
As soon as he comes, please. I don't want to seem rude.
Of course. Mother?
Where's my tea?
It's coming.
Excuse me. Mom? Dr. Ostermark.
Madam. Good evening.
Doctor. You're very welcome. The captain. Thank you, Noyd.
Mom.
The captain, Doctor. The captain is out. He'll be back shortly.
My apologies for calling so late. I had house visits to make.
Yes. There is so much sickness at this time of year. But I do hope you'll get to like it with us. We provincial folk feel somewhat isolated. And we need a doctor who takes an interest in his patients. A genuine interest.
I won't fail in that respect.
I don't expect you will. I've heard so many good things about you.
Thank you.
And about your recent bereavement. Please accept my condolences.
Madam.
I'm told she was beautiful. Your wife.
She was.
I hope we shall get to know each other well.
You're very kind, madam. And I hope, for your sake, that most of my visits will be social rather than professional. Your family are in good health?
We have nothing particular to worry about.
I'm glad to hear it.
Although, some things are not quite as they should be.
In what way? Something serious?
There are aspects of family life which one prefers to keep to oneself.
You can be frank with your doctor.
And I need to be. From the start. However upsetting.
Before this becomes a consultation, madam, I would like the honour of meeting the captain.
No. You must hear me first.
It's about him?
Yes, it's about him. My poor darling husband.
I'm sorry.
My husband is mentally ill. There. Now you know.
Are you sure? I've read papers he's published, impressive papers on mineralogy.
Mineralogy. He's obsessed with it.
The captain's writing shows a powerful and lucid intelligence.
Is that so?
Of course, his mind might be disturbed in other respects.
That's what we're afraid of.
Please, go on.
He sometimes has odd ideas, which, as a scientist, he's quite entitled to. Except when they constitute a threat to his family. For example, he's a compulsive shopper. He's always buying things.
What sort of things?
Books, crates of them, which he never reads.
He's an intellectual. They tend to buy books.
You don't believe me.
Madam, I'm sure you are convinced.
He says he can see what's happening on other planets. On Jupiter, through a microscope.
Does he say that?
Is that usual for an intellectual?
Observing Jupiter through a microscope.
A microscope?
If that's the case, then...
If that's the case, here I am sharing intimate family secrets, and you don't believe me.
Dear lady, listen. I'm honoured that you've placed your trust in me, but I'm a doctor. I must investigate before I attempt a diagnosis. Now, has the captain been liable to sudden changes of mood or sudden changes of mind?
Yes. Yes, he has. If I stand up to him, he's totally uncompromising. Then, when I give way, as a wife should, he loses interest. He says it's up to me to decide.
The will is the mainspring of the mind. If the will is weak, the mind...
God knows I've tried to gratify his demand through all these difficult years. If I could tell you what I've had to put up with...
Dear lady, I'm deeply moved by your distress. I'll do what I can, I promise.
I'm so grateful.
I must emphasize one point. Don't raise issues which might excite him. In a disturbed mind, fantasies can take root as obsessions or even insane fixations.
You mean I mustn't give him ideas?
Exactly. A mentally sick man is receptive to everything and will believe anything.
Oh, yes. Yes. I see. Excuse me, my mother's calling. I need to...
I see we have company.
Adolf. This is Dr. Erstemark. Doctor, I must leave you with my husband.
Delighted to meet you.
And it's a pleasure for me to meet a scientist with your reputation.
Don't flatter me. I'm a soldier.
I've read your papers.
Have you?
Most impressive.
I don't have time for full-scale research, but I think I'm onto something.
You are?
Putting meteorites through spectral analysis.
Meteorites?
I found carbon. Organic life. Amazing.
Through a microscope.
A microscope? No, a spectroscope.
A spectroscope, of course.
A microscope.
You'll be telling us soon what's happening on Jupiter.
Not what is happening, what's happened. Electromagnetic patterns of the past. The new science.
It's beyond me.
I've got the latest books on order from Paris. But the wretched shop refuses to send them. They're all the same, these booksellers, and they're all in cahoots. It's a conspiracy to undermine my work.
Surely not.
2 months without a single reply from any of them. I've sent orders, letters, telegrams, nothing comes back. Not a sausage.
How annoying.
It's driving me around the bend.
But this is mere inefficiency.
Damn it! I won't get my thesis finished on time. Some professor in Berlin is working along the same lines. And if... Doctor, I'm venting my frustration when I want to know about you. We must sort out where you're staying. Would you like to live here? We have a small apartment in the wing, or would you prefer the previous doctor's quarters?
It's up to you.
No, up to you. Which is it to be?
Captain, you must say...
The choice is yours. Either way, it makes no difference to me.
I can't...
For God's sake, man, say what you want. Make up your mind, before I lose my temper.
If it's really up to me, I'll stay here.
Good. Thank you. The maid will show you where, if you would kindly tug on that bell. Forgive me, Doctor. Nothing irritates me more than a man who can't make up his mind.
Masaranov?
Margaret?
Masaranov?
Where's the maid?
I must speak with you.
Do you know if the wing is ready for the doctor?
It's ready, sir.
Good. Then I won't keep you, Doctor. You must be tired. Margaret? Would you?
We have to speak.
Doctor, as you can see, I'm under orders. You'll find Noid, my orderly, out there. He'll show you to your rooms and help you with your bags. Welcome again.
Thank you.
Doctor, I assume my wife has briefed you on household arrangements, the basic lie of the land?
Your wife, sir, your charming wife, has told me everything she thinks a newcomer needs to know. Good night.
Listen to me, Master Adolf.
What have I done?
This fuss about the child. Make it up with the mistress. She's the girl's mother.
And I'm the father.
Yes, yes, but a father has other interests. A mother has only her child.
Exactly. She has only the one burden. I have to carry them both. Don't you think I would have done more with my life, been more than a simple soldier, if I didn't have to provide for them both?
I know you and the mistress are making each other miserable, but the pair of you must settle your differences.
You're not my friend!
Master Adolf, how can you say such a thing? Do you think for one moment I ever stop thinking how I cared for you as my baby boy?
As if I could forget. You've been a mother to me, Margaret. More than a mother. You always stood up for me when the rest are all against me. Now you want to betray me.
No.
When I need you the most, you're joining the enemy.
The enemy?
Yes, the enemy.
Dear God, why must two people torment each other so?
I'm telling you, Margaret, if you desert me, you do a wicked thing. There's a plot against me. The doctor, he's part of it. He's another, not my friend.
Master Adolf, you fear the worst in everyone. If you had faith, true faith...
Faith and truth are contradictions, a fact which you and your Baptist brethren happily ignore.
I'm happier than you are, Master Adolf. Bend your pride. Open your heart. God will fill you with joy and love.
Extraordinary. The minute you mention God and love, your voice hardens. Your eyes fill with hate. Is that what you mean by true faith?
You're hard. You're haughty. With your cleverness and your books, much good do they do you.
There speaks the pride of a humble heart. Education would be wasted on the likes of you.
Shame on you, Master Adolf.
I'm sorry.
I know you are. And old Margaret still loves you. Still loves a great big baby of a man. Loves him more than anyone. And always will. When the storm breaks, he knows where he can come.
You're the only one I can trust, Margaret. Stay true. I need you. I don't know what's happening, but something... something's wrong. Who's that?
Mama! Save me!
Darling! What's the matter?
She wants to hurt me.
Who? Tell me.
Grandma.
Wants to hurt you? I won't let Grandma, I won't let anyone hurt you, ever.
I have to admit, I do ask for it. I like to play tricks on her.
Tricks?
You mustn't tell. Promise you won't tell.
I promise.
This is not for my ears, Master Adolf.
Thank you, Margaret. What kind of tricks?
Well, when it's late and dark, Grandma turns down the lamp.
Careful!
I can do it. Then, she makes me sit at a table and wave my pen over a sheet of paper. She says the spirits will write through my hand.
What?
The pen is meant to write by itself. But sometimes it doesn't work. I have to pretend. I make it up.
You're naughty.
Other times, it really happens. It was happening just now. I don't know how. But Grandma got cross with me. She said I was writing out some old poem I know. I wasn't. It was flowing all by itself. But she got really cross. She wanted to smack me.
Berta, you don't believe these spirits exist.
I'm not sure.
They don't. They definitely do not.
Well, Grandma says you don't understand. And that you've got horrid machines that see what happened on other planets.
Does she say that? Darling, you know what meteorites are.
Stones that fall from the sky. Bits of planets or stars.
I've got an instrument which shows what these stones are made of. Whether or not they're made from the same elements as this Earth of ours. That's all I can see.
Grandma says there are things which she can see that you can't.
She's lying. Anything she can see, I can see too. So can you.
Grandma doesn't tell lies.
Doesn't she?
Well, if she does, Mama does too. And if you say Mama tells lies, I'll never believe you again.
Then I won't. But you must believe me, Berta, when I say it's time for you to leave home. Would you like to? You can go and live in town.
Yes!
And learn something useful.
I'd love to live in town. Anywhere. So long as it's miles from here. So long as I can see you, Papa, see you often. It's miserable in there. Like these winter nights. When you walk in, Papa, It's like taking down the shutters and opening a window on the first day of spring.
Oh, here. Yeah. Let me hold you, darling child.
Oh. Papa?
Mm-hmm?
Why can't you be nicer to Mama? Well, she cries so much.
Cries? Bertha, you want to live in town.
Of course I do.
What if your mother doesn't want you to?
She must.
She might not.
Then I don't know what will happen. She must.
You want to leave home. I want you to. But if she doesn't want you to go, what are we to do?
There'll be another shouting match. I hate it. I hate it. Why can't you, Mama?
Bertha, there you are. Your father and I were discussing your future. We may as well hear what you think.
Laura, Bertha is too young for a conversation of this sort. She has no idea yet how to make the choices open to her. You and I, on the other hand, we understand what is required.
But we can't agree. We had better let Bertha decide.
Well, I want...
No, it's my decision. Not my wife's, not my daughter's. Bertha, would you leave us?
Papa, please...
Bertha, leave the room!
Papa!
You're worried. You think she'll side with me?
She's already said she wants to leave home. I won't have you changing her mind.
You think I can make her change her mind?
You're capable of anything when it comes to getting your own way. How did you get rid of that old doctor, for example, and bring in this new fellow?
Well, how did I?
You made life impossible for the old man till he had to go. Then you got your brother to drum up support for this Erstermark.
I did nothing underhand.
Still got what you wanted.
And I'm not meant to want anything, am I? Except perhaps what you want.
Since when has that been any concern of yours?
Why is the lamp burning so low?
Bertha turned it down. She was setting a scene. Easily rectified. There. Is that bright enough, my dear?
You say Bertha is leaving.
In a fortnight.
That is your decision?
Final.
And Bertha agrees?
She's longing to get away.
I will prevent it.
You can't.
Can't I? Do you think a mother will stand back and let her daughter go to live among... to live among perverted radicals who will tell her everything I've brought her up to believe is nonsense, who will make her despise me for the rest of her life?
Do you think a father will let a bunch of ignorant, superstitious, opinionated women indoctrinate his daughter that her father is a charlatan?
That shouldn't matter so much to the father.
Shouldn't it?
The mother is closer to the child. I mean, who is the father? We have to accept no one really knows.
What has that to do with Bertha?
You may not be her father.
I certainly am.
How can you be sure? No one else can.
Are you trying to be funny?
I'm practicing what you preach. I may have been unfaithful.
You? Unfaithful? I can believe anything about you, but not that. If that were true, you couldn't bring yourself to tell me.
Oh, I'm capable of anything you say. So I might be prepared to go to any lengths, to be shamed, cast out, willing to lose everything to keep my child. Just think, I could be telling the truth when I say that Bertha is my child, but not yours. Just think.
Stop this!
Just think. Then you would have no right to say what should become of her.
First, you'd have to prove it.
Easy, shall I tell you how?
Stop this.
I'll say who was her real father. I'll provide the details, time and place. Let me see. When was Bertha born? We'd been married for 3 years, so...
Stop this, or I'll...
You'll what? If you want me to stop, my dear, think carefully before you actually do anything.
If a man could weep... How can you laugh?
Women are made of sterner stuff. They have to be.
You're very sure of yourself.
Amazing, isn't it?
Well, you're no match for me. Once and for all, I will make you see that!
Go on! Hit me! It will change nothing!
Shoppers ready? It's on the table. Time to eat.
Thank you, Margaret. We... Aren't you coming?
No. I'm not hungry.
Come on. The servants will notice. They'll start asking questions. Please? All right. I'll dine alone.
Sir Adolf, what is all this?
Why do some women treat men, grown men, like little boys?
Every man was a boy once. All born from women.
And women aren't born from men. I'm Berta's father. You believe that? Margaret? Don't you?
Now, who's the little boy? Of course you're the father of your child. And it's time for supper. No more tantrums. Sympathy's up, Master Redoff. Come along.
Get away from me, woman! Go to blazes! Go to blazes, you hellcat all! Noid! Noid!
Sir?
Harness the sleigh! Now!
Sir!
Damn you!
Get out of my way, woman!
Dear Lord, help us.
I won't be back before midnight.
Sweet Jesus, help us.
Grant us, O Lord, peace in our hearts. Peace in this house. Grant us peace.
I don't know what to make of it. For one thing, you're wrong when you say he looks at stars through a microscope. It's a spectroscope. He looks at meteorites through a spectroscope. That leaves me with no doubt as to his mental stability.
I never said...
Madam, I made a mental note. A microscope, you said. Was I mistaken, I wondered, in what I'd heard? I checked. A microscope, you said again. One has to be very careful making accusations of this sort. You could end up getting the man certified.
Certified?
Officially insane. Deemed incapable of managing his affairs. He would lose all his rights, his legal and personal rights, for no good reason.
I didn't realise.
Another point. He tells me he's written letters to booksellers, but he's had no reply. May I ask whether, with the best possible intentions, you've been intercepting his mail?
Yes. Yes, I have. I can't stand back and let him ruin us all. I have to protect the family.
Forgive me. Don't you see what'll happen? He'll find out you're interfering. His suspicions will be confirmed.
He's still not home. He went out in such a state. With no supper.
Did something happen this evening, after I left?
I'm beginning to fear what he might do.
What happened?
He was raving. Believe it or not, he's got it into his head that he isn't the father of his own child.
Where did that come from?
I can't say.
No possible explanation?
Well, he told me he was questioning his orderly. The kitchen maid is pregnant. She says Noid is the father. He denies it, of course. I stood up for the girl. The captain was furious. He said, "You never can tell who is the father of any child," as if. God knows I tried to calm him down, get him to see sense, but I think it's too late.
Don't be upset. I'm sure something can still be done. Has he suffered before from such delusions?
6 years ago, he wrote a letter to his doctor. He said he feared he was going mad.
So there's a history.
I can show you the letter.
He should have been treated at the time. I'm tempted to ask why he wasn't.
Is this the moment to dwell on the past?
You're right. We must deal with the situation as it is. Where might he be?
Anywhere. He's capable of anything.
Would you like me to wait up for him?
If only you would.
We must avoid arousing his suspicions. I can say your mother was taken ill. I was called to her bedside.
What an inspiration. Doctor, please, whatever you can do, I'm desperately worried.
I know. We mustn't stay here. Shall I slip next door?
I'll come with you. Margaret, she can... Well, she always stays up for him. Margaret? Margaret!
Come in, madam. Is the master home?
Not yet. I want you to wait for him here. When he comes, tell him my mother's not well.
Not well?
And the doctor's been with her. That's what you are to say.
Yes, madam. Leave it to me.
Thank you, Doctor.
Rest assured.
This way.
Vanity. Vanity. Woe is me. How sad a thing is life within this veil of tears. It's vanity, oh vanity.
Margaret!
Oh, goodness!
Can I sit with you?
You should be asleep.
I got the frights in my room. A nightmare.
Come to Margaret.
Coffee? I thought you might.
Dear child.
I hope.
Just as I like it. Still, you should be asleep.
Not yet. I have to finish this embroidery for Papa. It's for Christmas.
It's past midnight.
I heard a ghost. Just now.
A ghost? I'm not surprised. This house is full of tormented souls. The guardian angels are long since gone.
I heard someone singing in the attic.
In the dead of night? You heard me, child. I was singing.
No. It came from the box room, where the cradle is, the old cradle. The saddest song I've ever heard.
Songs from the cradle? In this weather? This wind? What is then this earthly life but grief, affliction, trouble, strife? Even when it fairest seemed vanity, it must be deemed.
Margaret, is Christmas a vanity?
Christmas? It's the season of joy.
So we can pray for a happy Christmas.
Amen. Amen to your prayer.
Is it true my father's sick?
Yes. Yes, I have to say that he is.
Well, then there'll be no Christmas party. Without a party, how can Christmas be happy? Not much point in that prayer.
Shush.
If Papa is not well, why isn't he in bed?
He's coming. Now be off with you. Quick, take the tray.
Quickly.
Or he'll be cross with us both.
Night, Margaret.
Good night, dear. God bless. Now go to sleep.
Still up, Margaret.
Waiting for you.
Time you turned in. Or do you fancy a tot?
Master Adolf.
Join me for a nightcap.
The old lady is sick and the doctor's with her.
Serious?
I don't think so. Bit of a chill.
Don't go, Margaret. Who was the father of your child?
I've told you before. That good-for-nothing Johansson.
You're sure?
Don't be silly. Of course I'm sure. There was no one else.
Yes. But did he know that he was the only one? You knew, but he couldn't be sure. That's the difference. Look at this photograph, Margaret. This happy family photograph. Does Berta look like me?
Two peas in the pod.
Did Johansson admit he was the father? In your case?
He had to.
That's when these things get nasty. Ah, the doctor. Good evening, doctor. Good morning. Fancy a drink? Don't mind if I do. How's mother-in-law?
Nothing serious. She sprained her ankle, the left ankle, just...
I thought she had a chill. Margaret said she had a chill. As usual, the experts disagree. Thank you, Margaret. Have a seat, Doctor.
You'll find the couch more comfortable. Relax. Here. A cushion will help.
Thank you.
I'll just top myself up. No, I've had my ration. The doctor and I are about to have a sober discussion. Aren't we, Doctor?
As you wish.
Tell me, Doctor, is it true that if you cross a zebra with a horse, a mare, the foal comes out striped?
That is correct.
And is it true that if a stallion then mates with the mare, the next foal could also come out striped?
Quite correct.
So it's possible, under certain circumstances, for a stallion to sire a foal with stripes?
It's possible.
Then a father's likeness to his child or unlikeness proves nothing.
Well...
paternity cannot be proved.
Well...
lost your wife, didn't you?
Yes.
Children?
One of each. My son...
Don't you ever feel ridiculous as a father?
No, not at all.
In my view, there's nothing more ridiculous than a man walking down the street holding his child's hand or talking about my children... my wife's children is what he should say. My wife's son!
I can't agree with you.
Did you ever wonder whether you were living a lie with your wife? Ever have the least twinge of doubt?
None whatever, sir. As Goethe put it, I think it was Goethe, a man must take his children on trust.
Trust? Where women are concerned? Isn't that a tad risky?
It depends on the woman.
There's only one kind of woman. One. Let me spite out what we're dealing with. It's their nature. It's instinctive for women to be false.
Captain, you must get a grip on these morbid thoughts.
Don't call me morbid. Boilers explode when the pressure reaches a certain level. It's inevitable. It's not morbid. But every boiler... has a different breaking point. Do you understand? Look, I know you're here to spy on me. Or to assess my condition, if we must pull our punches. If I wasn't a man, I would make accusations and list every symptom of my distress. Elaborate on its history, giving you a complete analysis who and what is causing it. But I am a man. All I can do is resign myself, put up with it, till the boiler bursts.
Captain...
enough said. Good night.
Captain, if you're not well, it's no reflection on your manhood to tell me what the problem is. Tell me. I need to hear your side of the story.
You've heard hers. Isn't that enough?
No. I want the full picture.
As if the big bad husband will ever get a fair hearing. No, Doctor, there's no need for you to go through the motions. I'm calm. I'm all right. I won't be exploding tonight. You can toddle off to bed. Good night.
As you wish. Good night. I can't involve myself any more in these household problems.
Are we enemies?
Far from it. I'm only sorry we can't be friends.
Come in, Laura. I know you're there. It's late. We need to talk.
At 1 o'clock in the morning?
I've been to the post office. Picked up some letters addressed to me from various booksellers.
You want to talk about booksellers?
You've been blocking my mail. Incoming and outgoing. As a result, my research has ground to a halt. I've been overtaken by others. Thanks to you, it's been a waste of time.
I was concerned.
Concerned?
You were neglecting your responsibilities.
Oh, your only concern was for yourself. You saw I was heading for greater heights as a scientist than I've ever achieved as a soldier. You couldn't allow that. It would only reinforce your sense of your own unimportance. Now it's my turn. I've also intercepted some letters that were addressed to you.
Highly ethical.
Glad you approve. These letters show you've been turning my friends against me, telling them I'm going mad. It's worked! Hardly anyone, from the colonel down to that cook, believes I still have my marbles. This is the position, so far as my mental health is concerned. I'm still functioning. I can do what is required of me as an officer and as a father. I can keep my emotions under control, more or less, so long as my will is not undermined. But you dig away. You dig, and you dig. The whole superstructure is about to collapse. I'm not playing for sympathy. Your lack of sympathy is your most effective weapon. No, I'm appealing to your self-interest.
Appealing for what?
You. What you do to me. It's destroyed my trust, my ability to trust anyone. I feel it. Feel my judgment weakening, my mind wandering. This is the madness you wish for. I could crack at any moment. The question is, am I more useful to you if I'm crazy or if I'm sane? Think about it. If I break down, I get cashiered. What would you live on? If I die, my life is insured. But if I commit suicide, you get nothing. You need me to stay alive and well.
You'd never kill yourself.
What makes you so sure? Do you think a man can go on living when he has nothing? No one to live for?
You're waving the white flag.
I'm saying, let's make peace.
On what terms?
That you let me keep my mind. Please, put my doubts to rest. You can have whatever you ask for.
What doubts?
Am I? Or am I not? Berta's father.
You doubt that?
You made me doubt it.
I have?
Dripping poison in my ear, waiting while it spreads through my system. I can't bear it, not knowing. Were you? Have you ever been unfaithful?
I can't confess to a crime. I haven't.
I forgive you, committed. Regardless.
If I say you're wrong, you won't believe me. If I say you're right, you will.
I won't tell anyone. I'm not going to trumpet my shame.
You want me to have deceived you?
Yes, because you can't prove that you've been faithful.
Well, then you'll throw me out and keep the child. You can't catch me that way.
Do you think I would care about a child that wasn't mine? Do you think I'd want to waste money on it?
Then you're lying when you say you forgive me.
Laura, help me. I'm going out of my mind. Can't you see? If the child isn't mine, I have no rights over her. I make no claim. Isn't that what you want, isn't it?
Why didn't we separate while we still had time?
You wanted more. You wanted power. Power over me. Power over our child.
Yes, this is a fight for power. What's the matter?
You. I see it. That evening, we'd only been married a couple of years. I was sick. Sick in bed. Close to dying. I heard voices in the next room. You and the lawyer. Talking about me and my money. I had money then. Lots of it. He says to you, if he dies, you get nothing. You don't have any children. Then he says, unless you're pregnant. I don't hear what you say. But months later, you give birth to a child. Whose child? Mine? Or the lawyers? That solicitor's lawyers? I mean, who is the father?
You. You are.
I'm not!
Yes, you are!
No! Something's wrong. Something's horribly, toxically wrong. I've worked for you. Slaved for you. Slaved for your child, your mother, your servants. I've sacrificed my career, my potential, so that you can enjoy a life free from care. I've put up with it all without complaint, because I thought I was the father to your daughter. 17 years of it. Yes, yes, condemned. 17 years of hard labour, when I'm guilty of nothing.
You've taken leave of your senses.
And you want that. You want to see me go crazy. You're the criminal here. Damn it, Laura.
You work hard to cover your tracks. I was sorry for you. I didn't realize what was biting you. Your guilt. Again and again I've held you close, trying to calm what I thought were your silly, irrational fears. When you were riven with guilt, why didn't I... Yes. Yes. I had my suspicions. But when I heard you in the night, I couldn't... Yes. Yes. The other night, in the small hours, a piercing cry. Oh! Oh! I couldn't bear it. I banged on your wall. Was I dreaming? Were you being attacked? No. You were having fun in your separate room. Oh! Oh! With your lawyer, your doctor, your soldier boy, you whore!
Adolf, I swear! I swear to God! By all I count holy, I swear, you... You are Berta's father.
What's the point? You've already said her mother will. She must commit any crime for the sake of her child.
What can I do? What do you want me to do?
I beg you. As a wounded man begs for the gunshot that will free him from pain, I beg you, tell me the truth, the whole truth. Forget I'm a man, a soldier, that men and beasts jump to my every command. I'm sick, Laura. I lay down my arms.
Tears?
Why not? Who says it's not manly?
Let them come. You have such a fine body. Oh, so big. So strong. How I longed when we met to care for this finely formed body. Inside the man I saw from the start, a frightened boy. A weak... an overgrown child. You couldn't believe you were wanted in the world.
I didn't know how to want. I didn't know what I lacked. I was only complete when I found you. When I wanted you and was one with you. No wonder I let you boss me about. In the barracks, in front of my men, I'm in charge. I give the commands. With you. I've been nurtured, fed, seen you as the one with so much to give.
And I have loved you. Loved you. But as a child, boys become men. When you began showing me you wanted me, not as your mother, but as your lover, I was ashamed, disgusted with myself. Yes. Yes, I wanted you too. Fiercely. It was a joy to be held by you. A joy to feel your strength, your hardness pressing against me, inside me. I wanted more. More, and then... How can a mother become a lover?
I thought you despised me. That you needed me to be more of a man. A man more like your father. The one man you adore. The man no other can match. I thought you needed me to prove my manhood. Sweep you off your feet. Become the father myself.
That was your mistake. The mother was your friend. The woman your enemy.
And the father. The father.
Love between sexes is war.
War. War. Yes. We can agree on that.
Don't think you swept me away. I took you. I've always taken what I want from you. Well, you've had the strength. The physical strength, the advantage of strength, but...
No! No!
You had the advantage. Always. My longing for you. To be with you. To be in you. To give to you. You could make me do, think whatever you wanted. Make me see sense in your stupid ideas. Hand me a potato, I'd see a peach. I'm an idiot. You knew nothing when we met, but you wouldn't accept I had something to offer. You always knew best. You had to be right. I woke up too late to what was happening. You had castrated me. And I let you. I had to do something, achieve something, if I wasn't to put a bullet in my head. I wanted to gallop off into the fray, sabre drawn, leading the charge, only to find myself shunted out here, with nothing but walls for target practice. I still had my research, still had science as my consolation. But now, when I'm reaching out, ready to harvest the fruits of my labour, you chop off my hand! You leave me with nothing. No dignity, no honour. A man cannot live without honour.
And a woman can?
She has children! We go on. All of us, living our lives. Children ourselves, lost in our fantasies, ideals, illusions. Help! Help! We cry. Wakey, wakey. Shh, everything's all right. But we're still upside down. We wake with our feet on the pillow, and the one who woke us walks in his sleep. Our waking is part of the dream.
You could have been a poet.
You think so?
I'm tired. Any more versification must wait until tomorrow.
Do you hate me?
Sometimes.
Why?
Because... when you're a man...
When am I not? We're breeze apart, you and I. Black and white. Hating me makes you a racial hater. No. Not just different races. We're different species, you and I. We're natural antagonists. If we come from apes, you and I, we came down different branches. Only one of us can survive. That is the law of nature.
And I shall be nature's winner. A court of law will decide. Tomorrow, I'm having you certified.
Certified?
I refuse to put up with you and your crazy ideas any longer. I don't want to. I don't have to. I will bring a better on my own.
What will you live on if you can't look to me?
Your pension.
How? How can you have me certified?
With this letter...
Let me see.
Your letter to the doctor. The old doctor. You told him you'd gone mad. I suppose I should thank you for this satisfaction, for giving me what I need.
Did it?
No! Stop! Breaking the furniture will only confirm you are deranged. Yes, I admit. There was a time when you were needed. As a father. As a breadwinner. But you've served your purpose. You can go. You say I knew nothing when we met. But I've always known what I wanted. I've had a mind to get it. And yes, I will have it. And I won't have you getting in my way. Not anymore. I want you out of my way. You can go.
This lamp, Laura. It isn't bright enough. Not bright enough!
Adolf!
Bright enough!
Fire! Fire! Fire!
Do you have the keys for his desk?
God forgive me. I took them from his pocket when the master put his uniform out for Noid to brush.
And the door to the study is locked?
It's locked, all right.
If you please.
Downright stealing it is. Listen to him in there, pacing up and down, up and down.
Control yourself, Margaret. Calm. We must all keep calm. Yes?
Noid, Mom.
Come.
From the Colonel, Mom. Letter for the Captain.
I'll deal with it. You removed all the bullets from his guns and pouches.
All done, Mom.
Wait outside. I must reply to this.
Listen to him, madam. What's he doing now?
Quiet, Margaret. I'm writing.
Dear Lord, have mercy.
There. Tell Noid to take this to the Colonel. And tell my mother everything's back to normal.
Madam.
Laura. I've only just heard.
Eunice.
This is a dreadful business.
Awful. It's been awful.
How did it start? Everyone's told me a different story.
He got it into his head last night that he isn't Bertha's father. Next thing I knew, he was throwing a lighted lamp at me in my face.
The man must be demented. What's to be done?
We must prevent further violence. The doctor sent for a straight jacket. I've written to the Colonel, and I'm trying to make sense of the household accounts are in a terrible state.
It's all extremely unfortunate, but I'm not surprised. I've always had an issue with his deviant thinking.
Look.
What?
In this drawer.
Good heavens. Your doll. And the bonnet you wore when you were baptised.
Bertha's rattle. He's kept these things hidden away.
Your letters. Your locket. He must have loved you, Laura. Loved you very much. I have no such mementos from my little lady.
Yes. He loved me.
Times change, and we change with them. A receipt for a grave, paid for years ago.
I'll take care of that. I've been wondering where he put it.
So he didn't imagine it. He told me you've been waiting for him to die.
One has to prepare for these eventualities.
Do you feel so little for him? Might you not share some of the blame for...
Am I to blame when my husband goes mad?
Oh, I'd never say that. Blood's thicker than water.
Then what are you saying?
Well, admit it, Laura.
Admit what?
This fits neatly with your wish to bring up Bertha alone.
I don't know what you mean.
I have to admire you, Laura. You're so strong. Ferocious. Like a fox in a trap. You'd bite off your own leg if it meant you could escape capture. So ruthless. Like a master thief working alone with not even a conscience to guide you. When you look at yourself in a mirror, Laura, what do you see?
I don't need a mirror.
No. There'd be no reflection. Nothing there. Not even a pair of sharpened incisors. Here, let me look at your hand. No trace of blood to give you away. No trace of poison in the air. Perfect. An invisible crime. They can't get you for that.
You sound as if you're the one with a conscience, brother. Lay a charge, if you can.
There's no evidence. That's my point.
If you can't prove my guilt, I must be innocent. Doctor, good evening. At least I can look to you for some comfort. I can, can't I?
All is in hand.
Can you hear the noise he's making? Are you convinced at last?
There's no doubt an act of violence has occurred. We've yet to establish whether it was from anger or insanity. Laura, it's up to you. Whether your husband is charged with a crime for which he could be imprisoned if he isn't fined, or whether he's committed to a lunatic asylum, which would you prefer?
I can't say.
You have no idea what's best for the family? Pastor, how about you?
It's tricky. There'd be a scandal either way.
If he escapes with a fine, he might be violent again.
And if he's sent to jail, he'll be out before long, without being treated meanwhile.
Is treatment possible?
Treatment is always possible, unless... I assume recovery is the outcome you would prefer. You must realize, madam, that I, as a doctor, have no choice.
But I understand your position.
Let's agree, then. It's in the best interest of all that the captain should be treated as insane.
I suppose so.
Yes.
Where's the nurse?
Why?
I need her to get him into this straitjacket. Once I've examined him, when I give the word, not a moment before. If you would ask the nurse to come in.
Margaret!
Madam?
Appalling. This is absolutely appalling!
Madam.
Over here, nurse. Listen carefully. I want you to slip this onto the captain, coming from behind, when I give the word, to prevent any more violence. As you can see, it's got specially long sleeves, which you tie around the back to limit his movements. A couple of straps here, these go through the buckles. Then you tie them to the back of a chair, or the couch, whichever's easier. Can you do that?
No, Doctor. I can't. I can't.
Why don't you do it yourself, Doctor?
Because the patient doesn't trust me. You, madam, would be the most suitable person. But he doesn't trust you either. Perhaps you, Pastor.
I couldn't possibly.
Margaret, ring the bell.
Mom!
Did you deliver my letter?
Mom?
Doctor?
Ah, yes, just the man. Noid, you're aware of the situation. The captain's not right in the head. We need you to help make sure he comes to no harm.
Nothing I wouldn't do for the captain. He knows that.
You've got to get him into this straitjacket.
No! Don't let that ham-fisted oaf touch him. He'll only hurt him. I'll do it myself. Gently. Very gently. No, I can wait outside. If I need help, I'll call for it.
That door won't hold up much longer. Hide the straitjacket, nurse. Under the chair there. Pastor, you and I will wait for him here. The rest of you, leave the room, please.
Dear Lord, have mercy.
Go.
It's all here, in these books. They prove it. I'm not imagining it. I'm not mad. Look, the Odyssey, book one, page 6. The Uppsala translation. Telemachus talking. My mother swears he's my father. But how do I know? No man knows for sure. That's Telemachus talking. Wonderful. Oh, the prophet Ezekiel. The man who says he is my father is a fool. Who can tell whose loins he comes from? More? Pushkin, Russia's greatest poet. I quote, the cause of his death was the rumor that his wife had been unfaithful, not the bullet that pierced his chest. He swore on his deathbed she was innocent. What an asshole! Jonas, you're here. And the doctor, of course. The doctor has to be here.
Captain, you know what you've done.
She asked for it!
Laura,
when it's got to the point that a man who once loved and worshipped a woman, takes a lighted lamp and flings it in her face, then you know for sure.
What do you know?
Nothing. We don't know. Nobody knows. We believe, don't we, Jonas? Believe and we'll be saved, won't we, Jonas? But I know. Belief can destroy a man. Oh, yes, I do.
Captain.
Bounce up! I'm not talking to you. I don't want you transmitting through your mouthpiece your instructions from next door. You medically qualified telephone. Yes, the next room. You know.
I know.
That woman is listening. She's whispering her instructions.
What nonsense.
Makes sense of this, Jonas. You believe you're the father of your children, but I remember once upon a time you had a tutor in the house. Good-looking lad. People were talking.
That's enough.
What's that on your forehead, Jonas?
I see a pair of horns sprouting. Lord love me, Doctor. He's turning pale. Yes, we're assholes. We married men, aren't we, Doctor? What about you? Your marriage bed. What went on there? You had an army officer, didn't you? Staying for a while. What was his name? Look. Lord love me. You've sprouted horns as well.
Captain, please, can we change the subject?
The minute I mention horns, it wants to change the subject.
Brother, you are out of your mind.
Do you think? I don't know. Bonkers. Yes, I'm bonkers. Can we change the subject? Let's talk about my daughter and her confirmation. Yes, Pastor, let's talk about confirmation. How do we confirm, we men, that our children belong to us? Here's what we do, so as to be sure. First, we get married. That makes us socially respectable. Then we get divorced as quickly and as quietly as propriety will allow. Then we become lovers. We fuck. We procreate. We adopt the children we've had. The man can then be positive they're his. The adoption papers prove it. Pythagoras himself couldn't prove it more conclusively. But what's the point? There's no point. I gave her my right arm. I grafted it. Grafted my brain, my spinal cord, onto her stem. That woman, I thought, together, we could create a single perfectly shaped tree. I've been cut below the graft. She's seen to that. I'm half the tree I was. The other half, her half, that keeps on growing. With my arm, my brain, while I shrivel and die. I gave her the best of me. Do you think I care what you do? I'm dead.
Papa?
My little one.
Pastor, we should withdraw and confer.
Come to Papa.
Why did you throw a lamp at Mama? She could have been hurt.
Yeah, pity I missed.
You're not my father when you talk like that.
Not your father? What do you mean? Who says? Who is your father? Who?
Anyone but you.
Not me. Who then? Who? Do you realize you're insulting your mother? If what you say is true, if your mother's husband is not your father, then she has shamed herself. She has deeply, utterly shamed herself.
Don't you mean nasty about my mother, do you hear?
You stick together, don't you? You women in the house, you're all against me. Always have been.
Father.
Don't use that word. Ever again.
Father. Papa.
Bertha. My darling. My darling child. You're mine. You must be. You can't possibly not be. The rest is sick. A fantasy. An infection. Some foul contagion blown in by the wind. Look at me, darling. I want to see my soul reflected in your eyes. I see hers too. Two souls there. One loves me, the other hates me.
I love you. I love you, Papa.
Love me totally, my darling. Only me. One soul. One. Or peace will never be ours. Never be yours. Never be mine. One thought. Mine. One will. Mine.
No, mine! Let me go! I want to think for myself. I want to be myself.
I won't let you. I'm a cannibal. I'm going to gobble you up. Eat or be eaten. That is the question. If I don't eat you, you will eat me.
I won't.
You've already shown me your teeth. Don't worry, dear child.
Father. Mother, help! He's going to shoot me!
I'm not going to hurt
you. He's going to kill me!
Not you, my darling.
Help!
Master Adolf! What do you think you're doing with that thing in your mouth?
It was loaded. Did you take the bullets?
I was tidying up.
How dare you? How dare you touch my toys?
Come and sit over here quietly. Here on the couch. I'll find some bullets for you later to play with, Roberta. Shoo. Do you remember, Master Adolf, when you were my little boy? I would tuck you up when it was time for bed. I'd sing to you. I'd be up in the night, bring you hot drinks, light a candle if you couldn't sleep, tell you nice stories when you had nasty dreams.
Don't stop talking, Margaret. Keep talking. Your voice makes my blood run smooth.
Do you remember you once took a knife? A great big carving knife from the kitchen. You wanted to carve a boat. I found you with it, that great big knife. And I was worried that you might hurt yourself. But you didn't want me to take it away, your great big knife. Oh, you were such a suspicious little boy. You couldn't believe I meant you well. So I made a game of it. Give me that silver snake, I said, or he'll bite you. Give me that silver snake, or he'll bite you. Then you let go. You let go. You let go of the silver snake.
Silver snake has no bullets.
Good boy. And I remember when you had to get dressed, what a fuss you'd make. We're a game for that. Your coat is cut from cloth of gold, I'd say, like a prince. Then I'd take your vest, the little woolly green one, and hold it out in front of you. Say, hold out your arms. Yes, hold them out. And in with your arms. There's a good boy. Sit still now. Let me do up the buttons.
Why does my waistcoat have buttons at the back?
So that it fits properly. See how well it fits, your golden coat. Now, it's back to bed. Let me tuck you in properly.
Can't go to bed. I just got dressed. What? Damn it! What have you done? Damn you, woman! You treacherous girl! I never thought you of all people, that you could do something like this to me. Trust, plucked like a chicken. Go on. Finish me off.
Master Adolf.
Let me die.
Forgive me.
Why?
I can't let you murder your daughter.
Why not? Life is hell. Death is heaven. Heaven is where she belongs.
You can't say that, Master Adolf. None of us knows where we'll go, what will happen when we die.
It's all we do know. Life. Life is the great unknown. They should make that clear at the start.
Soften your heart. Pray for mercy. It's not too late, Master Adolf. Remember the words of our Saviour to the thief on the cross? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Hark at the old crow crowing over my corpse. Noid!
Sir!
In here!
Sir?
Get this woman out. Stuffing scripture down my throat. Chuck her out the window. Ram her up the chimney, anything. And get this thing undone.
With respect, sir, I can't. Give me half a dozen men, I'll take them on. A woman?
Can't deal with a woman?
Of course I can. But I can't lay hands on one.
They've had no hesitation in laying hands on me. Noid!
I'm not doing it, sir. As bad as you telling me, I've got to punch the pastor. I'm a man of God and all. I can't do it, sir. It's not natural.
Adolf.
You. Delilah. You. Circe. Judith. Medea. Every woman who ever unsexed a man.
Is that how you see me?
Yes! Yes! The enemy! Every woman is my enemy. My mother was my enemy. She didn't want to have me. She didn't want the pain. She starved me in her womb, left me starving for affection, crippled me inside. The first woman I ever loved was my enemy. She traded my love for a vicious pox. 10 years it took me to be clear of that. My daughter is my enemy. She's chosen you against me. And you, my wife, my helpmeet, the darling of my heart, you are my arch, my uber, my utmost enemy, because you would not rest until you had reduced me to this.
What you accuse me of? I don't think... I may have had a sense, a vague sense that I was... that I had to escape, but no plan. No plan that I'm aware of. I never saw beyond. The opportunity of each moment that's brought us to this point, driven by compulsions we don't understand, in directions we never intended when we first set out together. God knows. I don't believe that I've done wrong. I know I may have, and I will be judged for my sins. But you tied me down. You boxed me in. You suffocated me. I had to be free, free from you, or go mad myself. That much I'm sure of, only I didn't intend. I did not intend to make you suffer in this way.
You almost convince me. What difference does it make? Your oratory. I'm still bound, like Prometheus on his rock, a vulture hooking its beak into my liver.
Please. Please forgive me.
What happened to love? Healthy, sensual love. Is marriage to blame? What have we made of it? In days gone by, a man took a wife. Now he makes a business relationship with a woman intent on her own career. He seduces his partner. He rapes his companion. And what's the return on this sexual investment? A bearer bond on a broken bank. Who pays the price when the crash comes? Who is the father of this paper child?
Adolf, your doubts about Berta and about me are completely unjustified.
Don't say that! Oh, I can't bear it! If I was right, there'd be something for me to hold on to. As it is, I've nothing but shadows. Shadows all around. If I knew I was right, however awful the truth, I'd have something to fight. Something to fight with. As it is, my thoughts are melting. My brain... It's catching fire. Can I have a pillow? Something soft for my head.
Here, a nice cushion.
And something... Cover me, I'm cold. Horribly cold.
My shawl.
It's warm and soft, like your arms. It smells of vanilla, like your hair. When you were young, we were young, Laura. We went walking through birches. There were primroses. Thrushes. It was beautiful.
Yes, it was.
You didn't want this, Laura. I know.
If I could hold your hand.
Hold it? You cut it off! Castrator! Get out of my face! Laura, I curse your sex! What's this, Margaret, under my head? It's hard.
Can I put my head in your lap? That's better. Bend over me, Margaret. I want to feel your breast against my cheek. Oh, it's sweet. Sweet. To sleep on the breast of a woman. Mother. Lover. Mother is best.
Adolf. Do you want to see Berta, your child?
Men don't have children. Women do.
The future is theirs. Men die childless. Dear God. Suffer, little children.
Praying, madam. Praying to God.
Now, Margaret.